following content is from Shadow Hills Church. For more information, visit our website at www.shadowhills.org.
Thank you, Seth. The victory is yours. Well, there was a church in Leduc, Canada, and it had grown and it outgrew its building. So they had a building campaign and they built a new building. But their old building was still a good building, and it was built on a platform. So they sold that building to an evangelical church that was just down the road in the community of Beaumont, about 10 miles away. And the evangelical community church was thrilled to be getting this building. They had to have it moved, so they put it on one of those huge trucks with a big trailer. And the driver took off and he started moving the church. Church on the move. That's just my little ad, all right. They got about 3 miles from Beaumont, and the driver did not see the 138,000 volt power line and ran into the power line and caught the roof of the church on fire. You talk about a church on fire. It's a church on the move on fire. Fortunately, that power line went to a little store, so he ran in the store and he called the Beaumont Fire Department and said, about 3 miles out of town is a church and the roof is on fire. And the Beaumont Fire Dispatcher said, our limit is 2 miles outside the city limits. We can't go 3 miles. We can't help you. You're a mile too far. He said, get your equipment ready. Give me 5 minutes. I'll be there. He took the church on fire to them. Now we can all, you know, I don't know why that story intrigued me a little bit, except it's just a dumb story, but a church on fire. For the next several weeks, Brett and I are going to share a series called Acts and the Mission Advances. Now, the mission is not changing. Leadership is changing. But the mission of the church does not change. We exist for two reasons. We exist to lead people who don't know Jesus to Jesus so they can know him. So they can say yes or no intelligently, I'm going to follow Jesus or I'm not. We exist to reach people who do not know the love of God. And then second, we exist to show people who love God how to love him more, how to grow and mature and become more like Jesus. The Bible says the whole objective of God is to make you and me more like Jesus. Now, I've been a Christian 50 years, and I'm not near enough like Jesus, but I'm more like Jesus than I used to be. So our objective is to love and reach out to those who don't know God's love and help believers grow in their love for God and love for others. The mission is not going to change. It's going to continue. But when you look in the book of Acts, you get a glimpse of what that mission really involves. And you get a glimpse of a church on fire. You know, we've heard that expression. I've heard it all my life. Well, that church is really on fire. Well, what does that mean? Well, when you look in the book of Acts, you find that the church on fire started 2,000 years ago at Pentecost. And it's still burning today brightly in many places where people are winning the lost to Christ and helping the saved learn to love him more. In fact, in many places around the world, the fire is hotter and the light is brighter than ever before because the church is continuing to advance the mission. I just want to spend a moment this morning and talk about what does a church on fire look like. Now, I can imagine the little evangelical community church on the trailer, and what it looked like on fire. But what does it look like when a church, which is the body of believers, the building is not the church. You don't go to church. We are the church. Which leads me to another question. What does it look like when I'm on fire? What does it look like when, as a Christian, I'm on fire? Because if you have enough Christians on fire, then you have a church on fire. But what does it look like? You know, in the earliest moment of the church, which is written of in the book of Acts, the church is born, and the Bible says that the Holy Spirit came upon people and it looked like little tongues of fire. It doesn't mean that they were literally on fire. It just means that in the Scripture, the Holy Spirit is characterized by fire. And when you have God's Spirit working in your life, you ought to be on fire. And when all of us get together, there ought to be a roaring fire. And when we're out in the highways and byways in the communities at our jobs, there ought to be flames of fire. But what does that look like for us? Well, at the early church, the Bible says when the church first came into existence that the believers went out into the community, and each believer, a little bit on fire, shared their faith. And do you know what it says? When the apostles began to preach, 3,000 people in one day became believers. They trusted Jesus. They were baptized. So now what do you have? Well, now you have 3,000 believers, and they don't have a building to meet in. They do not have a pastor to lead them. They don't have any creed or code. They don't even have a complete Bible. And that's the first church membership in history. No building, no budget, no leadership. But they have some needs. These 3,000 people need to know the truth about Jesus. These 3,000 people need to be connected to one another. They need to grow in the grace of God. They need to learn how to become all that God wants them to be. In other words, their needs are no different than mine. I need to grow in the grace of God. And I need to know how to become what God wants me to be. And I need to be in community with other believers. And the early church was charged with the responsibility not of making converts, but of making disciples. A convert is somebody who comes to believe in Jesus. But it doesn't end there. You've got to become a disciple. A disciple is someone who learns to walk with Jesus, who learns to be like Jesus, who matures in their faith. And so we got 3,000 converts who need to become disciples because the fire has been lit and we need the fire to continue to burn. And the Bible tells us what had to happen. God has given us a little snapshot of this church that is on fire. So this morning, just four things quickly. What does it look like when I'm on fire, when you're on fire? Because if I'm on fire and you're on fire, then the church is on fire, called Shadow Hills. What does it mean for us to be on fire? Well, it means, number one, we will be built on God's Word. Look what it says. So those who received his word were baptized and were added that day about 3,000 souls. Now, that fellowship of believers was not proofread and should not be there. Just continue. 3,000 souls, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayer. In other words, the very first thing the early church said, we are going to devote ourselves to the teaching of the Word of God. Where it says, to the apostles' teaching. The apostles are the ones who gave us the early Word of God. That's why you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's why you have the letters of Corinthians and Romans and Philippians, Galatians, even Revelation. Because these apostles gave it to us. And they said, the first thing we're going to do is build our lives around the Word of God. We're going to look to the Word of God, listen to the Word of God, learn the Word of God, and we're going to live by the Word of God. In other words, we're going to place our lives under the authority of the Word of God. And that might ought to be the very first question. Is your life today under the authority of the Word of God? Is there anywhere in your life today that you could say, I'm not doing that? Is there anywhere in your life that you know the Word of God says that you should be doing something? Or maybe, this is more likely, maybe the Word of God says you shouldn't be doing that and you're doing it anyway. Then you're not living under the authority of the Word of God. And that quenches the fire. In fact, it will put the fire out. You know what I'm doing today, what is happening in places all around our world, 2 billion people today, 2 billion people are in a church somewhere or under a tree somewhere. They're gathered as a community of believers, and they're listening to somebody do what I'm doing right here, teaching the Word of God. Do you know that doesn't happen anywhere else? Islam does not do that. Hinduism does not do that. Buddhism does not do that. Why? Because only believers, Christians, live under the authority of God's Word. But that's what stokes the fire. A church where the Word is preached is where the fire burns brightest. Paul said to young Timothy, a young pastor, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Why do we come and look at the Bible week in and week out? I've known some of you for nearly 32 years because for 32 years you've come to listen to me teach the Bible. Why? Well, I mean, I know why you come to me. It's some of these other yokes out there that I'm not sure why you go to those, but no, I'm kidding. You know what I mean. Why do we do that? Because the Bible changes lives. The Bible changes lives. It gives us wisdom in how to live. Dr. Phil is not going to change your life, but the Bible will. The second thing the Bible says about being a church on fire is you cannot be blind to those in need. Look at the verse. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. I don't think anything astonished the Roman world more than the church's willingness to meet each other's needs. Because the Roman world was a dog-eat-dog world. It's about me, not about you, it's about me. And whatever I can get, I'm going to get. And I'm not sharing what I have with you. It's mine. I work for it. It's mine, and I don't care what your problem is. And that's why in Rome, children were left to starve on the streets. And that's why in Rome, widow ladies and divorcees were left to starve to death because they had no way of providing for themselves. But in the church met needs. And when somebody in the church saw a little child left out in the street in the alleyway to die, they would take that child into their home. And the Romans are saying, why are you doing that? That's another mouth to feed. You could have a party with that money. And the Christians did it. And they met needs. And a church on fire is a church that meets the needs of those who are hurting. It's totally opposite of the world, sharing and caring. Because here is what the church needs to be. We need to be more interested in giving than receiving, and we need to be more interested in serving than being served. You want the heat of God's Spirit to rise and change lives? when you hear somebody else's stomach growling, give them some food. And you see somebody shivering, give them a coat. Now, some people have taken this verse and almost made it communistic. It says that they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds. But in the original language, it is, think of it as an event rather than as continuous action. Continuous action, we meet each Sunday. That's continuous action. Event, in just a little while for our downtown campus, we're going to have a clothing drive for grade school, junior high, and high school kids, because our campus is in one of the poorest parts of this valley. And one of the ways that we reach out and live under the Word of God is we meet the needs of children. That's an event. We don't constantly do it, but we make it an event. These people, this is not something that they just put all their money every time they got some into the pot. It simply means that they had events that met needs. And the scripture says in Romans, each one of us needs to look after the good of people around us, asking ourselves, how can I help? How can I help? We have an individualism in our society today that just cuts the heart out of compassion. We have this individualism that just cuts the heart out of caring. And a church on fire. Okay, we need this kind. Sorry about that. No, this is my fault. This one's on me.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
Isn't that good?
That's the marvel of modern electronics. They are demon possessed.
Okay, now my mic cord's probably going to hang down, but that's all right. Think about this for a moment. It is a picture of what happens in the legacy of the church. This is what depends on whether we reach the next generation or not. That's why that student building was so important. And by the way, thank you for your continued support and your giving to pay for that building. Because it's been a marvelous, marvelous thing. Do you think it cost the early church to do this? Absolutely. But look at this verse. In Acts 2, they received their food, how? With glad, generous hearts. You want a happy church? I like happy churches. You want an excited church? Yes. You want an enthusiastic church? Yes. Then learn the greatest joy in life comes when you sacrifice yourself. When you give rather than receive, when you serve rather than be served. Number three, a church on fire is community. Now, these converts were Jewish, and that meant they were used to going to the temple and worshiping the Lord together. They were familiar with what it meant to be a congregation. This is a congregation, but they were going to move. God was going to see that they moved from congregation to community. It says in the verse, all the believers met constantly together and shared everything with each other. Well, where did they meet constantly together? Well, day by day attending the temple, and then what? Breaking bread in their homes. They had both congregation and community. This breaking bread in their homes was something that the believers had never done before. The Jewish people didn't do that. But now God has added a dimension. And in fact, in 1 Peter, he says, open your homes to each other. Why does God change this? And rather than just the temple, just the community, or just the congregation, which is what we have here, why did he say, I want you to go to homes? Small groups. Small groups. Because
Listen, folks. Fellowship. We fellowship in here. We shake hands. We go around, say hi to people we don't know. In fact, most of you don't know 25 people in this room. The average church member knows 32 people at church. Which means most of you don't have anybody in this room that you would go to their home and eat. But we fellowship in this room. Fellowship will never be turned into friendship in a congregation. It happens in a small group. That's why we preach and teach small groups. That's why we have them on campus when you come here. That's why we're developing an entire home network of home groups. And if you're not in a small group, get in one today. Because that allows you to build your life around the Word of God, meet with people who love the Word of God, and listen to people who know the Word of God. Long before the church ever had buildings and baptistries, long before the church ever had pulpits, they had kitchens and dinner tables. And they met together. So important. Why? Because just like our community is set up for individualism, we're also set up for isolationism. We're set up for isolation. You know, I've told you before, I can leave the front door of the office building over there and walk to my truck. And if I can get in my truck with nobody stopping me, I can drive all the way home, drive into my garage, shut the door, and never be accessible to a single person. That's isolation. God says, I don't want you to be isolated. I want you to be in community. You know, be in community. You know, bless our hearts. We are so thick. Our conversation has now become typing and texting and tweeting. And I don't know all the other fancy ones, Snapchat and all that stuff. And I look, Mary and I go to lunch. We went to lunch Friday, and I look, and people are sitting at the tables with their phones. My own boys do that. Going to my house to see me. I'm not in there. I'm over here. What happened to eye contact? What happened to us being together? Do you know the word hospital and hospitality come from the same Latin word? Hospital and hospitality. What do they have in common? They both heal. They heal lives. This past week, I met with a gentleman that I had not met with before. We sat face to face. We talked. Neither one of us ever brought out our phone. And we found out that we could be friends because we had a common problem. We had a boy who had a history of drugs. And he cried on my shoulder, and I cried on his shoulder. And I tried to help him with some things, and he helped me with some things. And some of the things we knew together, because I said, you know the three C's. He said, you mean you can't cause it, you can't change it, you can't cure it? I said, yeah, that's the ones. I have a friend. Why? Hospitality. The Bible says in 1 Timothy, I'm writing so you will know how to live where? In the family of God. You know, when we're sitting at dinner together, you've kind of said, hey, you're part of my family right now. You're in my house. You're my family. Be a part of a small group. Then number four, we have to be after those outside the church. The picture in Acts 2 ends with this. Praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. In other words, they kept reaching people. People from the outside kept coming to the inside. If this verse was not here, we would think church is all about us. And some people do think that. It's all about us. Us four, no more. Shut the door. I don't like a crowded parking lot. I don't like crowded rooms. I don't like to have to wait in line at Hebrews. Lord, you have a coffee shop on the church grounds and you're griping about waiting in line. Well, it's about me. No, it's not. It's about us. And it's about the people outside. That's why we feed 700 hungry children every Friday during the school year. Is about them out there. See, the light doesn't burn just in here. It is to be with us going out there. These people didn't have the benefit of a building or a budget or land or money. How did they reach new people without a building and a budget? People were attracted to the fire like moths to a flame because they loved one another. Every day, these believers, just living their lives, going about their business, going to Walmart, going to Costco, going to the bank, going to Taco Bell, and telling what Jesus did. And because their lives were on fire, they attracted people. Verse 46 says, day by day, attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes. 47, the Lord added to their number daily. They were the church every day, not just Sunday. Every day they were serving, not being served. Every day they were giving, not receiving. They would come one time a week to the congregation to build the fire. And then they would depart little flames. You see, every fireman knows that if you contain a fire, you can put it out. And if all we are is fire in here for 1 hour on Sunday, we can be extinguished. But if we go out there and we become a flame, we draw people. That's your choice. Stand with me and let's pray. Heavenly Father, first, help each of us to look into our own hearts and ask the question, am I on fire? Am I built on the Word of God? Do I see those in need and do something? Am I a part of community, not just congregation? Am I concerned about those outside the church? Give us that heart. Let us be on fire in Jesus' name. And I want you to keep